Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for a good day. We thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. We just pray that you make this time fruitful and a blessing. Also, we just look forward to the rest of the day, that you bless it and we offer it up to you. We pray these things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Again, as in previous weeks, I will wear my hat because my head is cold. All right, homework. I'm sure it was very hard, or at least very long, because you probably found a million things in the 50-so verses, right?
Yeah.
So let's start off backwards, because there's probably a lot of things you found out about God. Let's start off with people. What did you see about people?
Very needy.
Very needy?
Yes.
Did you have a verse to establish that?
Sure. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
So we got more stuff, guys?
Full of doubt.
Full of doubt? Establish it.
Nathaniel said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see."
All right, keep going. Anything else?
The Pharisees and the scribes were toads.
Toads?
Toads. Because of the way they were questioning John. And they asked him, "What art thou? Art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No."
What is a toad? I've never heard the term, so I'm just asking.
Someone who is overeducated.
Overeducated.
But they can't put things together properly.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
No man hath seen God. 18.
Anything else?
I got the idea here that people are inquisitive and want information.
And I'm guessing this is from the Pharisees asking the question.
Yep.
More.
For people, God wanted to bring them under his wing. But as many as received him, to them he had power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
All right, what else?
He wanted to teach him and enlighten man.
So is that so these two, it sounds like they're about God.
Right.
Okay, God wanted to bring under his wing.
Yeah.
Are they about people?
Yeah. And I also have God has the power, verse 12, to make us his sons.
So God. People can become his sons. Mm-hmm. Is that what it how's this phrase it?
To them who believed on his name, to them he gave the power to become his son.
Because remember, we're trying to get it for people. How about...
The law was given to Moses?
Yes, that's very good.
Can we name specific people?
Yes, you can.
John the Baptist, Harold. Harold who?
Because this is what it teaches us about God's person, what it teaches about God's plans, and what does it teach us about people. So finding out that John is the herald of the Lord is actually pretty important, since did anyone notice how much of the text was focused on John the Baptist? Did you think it was strange that it would go from God to John the Baptist, back to God, back to John the Baptist? That's a lot of emphasis on John the Baptist in this early chapter, especially I bet in your homework pages you have a lot of notes about God. How about verses 35 to 37? Did anyone pick up anything there? Or 35 to 37, and then, 35 to 37,
some instantly see and follow.
They can be influenced by God.
Can be influenced by God?
The first follower of Christ. Be the first converts.
Yes. And these first converts, how does John talk about them following Jesus? What was the thing that first initiated the first couple?
Behold the Lamb of God.
Who says that?
John.
Yeah, so John the Baptist declares the message of the Lord, right? Behold the Lamb of God. And then these two disciples that are his, immediately they start looking for Jesus, where he lives and where he's staying, to follow him, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have anything else of people?
I don't know if this is the right category, but in verse 9, the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world.
So every man is enlightened? Mm-hmm.
So would that relate to made in God's image?
Maybe, but the context seems to say something different. Because let's look at how it says it. It's up at near the top. So start from the top, right? So all things came into being through him. This is verse 3. And apart from him, nothing came into being that's come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Wouldn't that be his image?
Possibly, right? But then let's go down to verse 9. And actually, verse 8. Speaking about John first, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. So when do we think when we're talking about the image of God, when do we have it? When would we have the image of God?
Well, right from Genesis, really.
Right from the beginning, right?
Yes.
So here it seems to be saying something different, although it's tying back to Genesis, right? Because we see that we saw already weeks before, this sounds like Genesis, that here Jesus comes into the world and that winds up being the light and lightning. So it might be that it's recalling something with the whole image of God, because it says in him was the light, and the light was the life of men. But there's something else going on. Well,
it sounds like it's a spiritual beginning.
It does. It does sound
more than a physical beginning.
It does sound like that. Yes.
Every man is enlightened.
Every man is enlightened. So, do we have anything else for people? Because if not,
man is full of sin.
Where did you see that one? Because this is pretty important.
29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went.
It sounds like they're just staying at the guy's house.
Oh, the next page.
I think you probably have a better chance at this idea, maybe, with verse 5, where it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it, comprehend it, overcome it. So you might have a better chance with that. But does it say it explicitly?
I read you the wrong
verse. Read the wrong verse.
I'm sorry. 29 actually says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world.
Okay. So, the world is full of sin?
Man is full of sin. All the world. God so loved the world, right? It's the people of the world. So man is full of sin. God's creation is full of sin because man said.
So again, then, with this verse, the question then is, does it say the man is full of sin?
It says the world. All the men.
Does it say all the men?
The world.
Does that mean the planet?
It says all the men, but not all the women, right?
No. So I'm going to put 2 here. I'm leaving the man is full of sin. World full of sin.
And well, it says he was in the world. The world made him, and the world did not know him.
World did not know him?
Word world is talking about that thing.
Yes.
That's not true, tape recorder. I'm emphasizing this point because we're going to actually be dealing with some of this today, with world, because it doesn't say all men, right? It doesn't say it. It says world, which is strange way to be talking about people. It is strange, right? We're talking about the planet. It's strange.
Well, now we call that biblical.
We would call it a metaphor. It's like a word picture. It's a word picture that's depicting something. Just like how I was mentioning, like verse 5, it says the light overcomes the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend the light. It's saying something. And I've noticed, like, we're pulling out from it what it means, but it doesn't really say it explicitly. So somehow you guys are making the connection, even though it doesn't say it explicitly. But we're going to get to that. So
at this point here, we're sorry we don't make the same connection as you.
No. We're making the connections. I'm just questioning it so that way, because to underline it.
At this point here, no one is saved, correct? Until we get over to here, we're the first 2 followers.
That seems to be sort of the way that John is painting this picture. It's a dark situation. Almost like if you go back to Genesis 1, there's the world is in chaos and void, and then God says, let there be light, and then there's light. And then it's in that creation moment that you start seeing things happening. John seems to be doing a little bit of the same thing. There's the beginning, there's darkness, and then there's light. And then when light shines in the darkness, testifying of the true light, then you start seeing people being enlightened. And people are being enlightened. And then the chapter, if you notice near the end of the chapter, it's these 2 disciples go tell somebody else. Those 2 disciples go tell somebody else. This one hears from the Lord. And you're seeing this ladder from heaven where the angels of the Lord are ascending and descending. And he says, I'm the Son of Man. So there seems to be that sort of picture of there's nothing and now there's something happening. It seems to be. All right, so let's go on to, what do we see about God's plans? I'm going to switch to green.
He is the beginning.
Now that's about a person, right?
He said the forerunner.
So there was a forerunner.
Yeah. And that's why you could say where whenever whoever believed on him would be the children of God. So that was his plan to have children of God.
He was his plan was to teach man and enlighten him. To look at man and show man loving kindness.
Where do you see quicken and show loving kindness?
It was the light, and the light was the light of men.
Good. And loving kindness?
Five. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. We walk in the light, we have God's loving kindness in us. We should show it because we are the light of the world.
Men, what do you think about that? Is that one of the things that you're seeing in the text? What he says there with loving kindness is in the text.
Sure, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
In John 1. I'm pressing you, Bill, because you're doing calisthenics this morning. You're stretching.
Okay. Verse 12 says, but as many as received them, to them he gave the power to become sons of God.
Yes.
That's loving kindness.
Okay, so you're saying he does this, therefore it must be
true.
To show loving kindness. This is true that by doing this, he's showing loving kindness. God's point. I'm putting it in parentheses. Anything else?
As witnesses of the light.
God's plan is for us to show, to live, to show that he's alive, he exists.
Right, as witnesses.
Now, did you find it interesting that God sends John to be a witness of the light, and then at the end of the chapter, you see that a lot of the disciples are witnessing?
Right.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That they were all doing it?
Yeah.
They were all doing it? All right. Anything else of the plan of God?
He came to, I don't know how to put it, overcome the law.
To overcome the law?
To grace and truth.
With grace and truth.
How about the man should become children of God with that?
Yeah, that sounds like actually pretty good. Become children of God.
It's interesting that Jesus sought those that would follow him.
God's plan was to come here as God, but that was too powerful, so Jesus came as fully man and fully God.
So, incarnation, maybe?
Verse 16, we receive the fullness of God.
Receive fullness of God.
If you wanted to enlighten the three eyes, open the eyes.
First, like verse 12 and salvation, right? Is that as many as receive him, then he will be right to come to heaven with God, those who believe in his name.
Salvation through belief, right?
And John to introduce Jesus to people.
John 1:2, you said?
Thank you, John to introduce people.
John. And which verse do you use to establish that? Behold the Lamb of God.
He is baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Excellent.
That's why kind of like going back to people, like we should have mentioned like Nathaniel, because Jesus already knew, you know, behold an Israelite indeed and there's no deceit. I mean, is that kind of like saying that he already, this guy knew this guy's heart already? I mean,
yeah, well, he knew him before Nathaniel knew him.
Right.
That's interesting. That is interesting. So if he could know people before people know him. How about to take away the sins of the world? To take away the sin of the world, rather.
Hey.
Hey, how's that going, Daniel?
Good, you?
So to take away sin of the world. Now remember when I was mentioning that before, when we were talking about the whole world thing. So let's look at that verse again. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." Does anyone have plural S?
No.
So again, the sin, singular, of the world. Singular, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just interesting. Just highlighting that. So he's taking away... There are several possibilities. Can you list some?
That sin is the world.
That what?
The sin is the world. That the sin... That we have one sin. That there talking about all sins and giving it one category.
There are several, that's right. Those are three actual good categories.
Right, I was thinking about this the other night in Bible study when we talked about, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Does pride of life kind of like cover all of that, right? Because, I mean, if you're sinning, you're obviously proud. You're too proud to respect God's plan or God's, you know what I mean? Like, if you think you're pulling the wool over God's eyes, you're not.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not sure about the categories. The three categories.
Right.
It seems a bit too tidy, and it seems like a. For example,
sin isn't tidy at all. It's a mess.
No, well, it's three categories. But for example, like Satan, right? We know Satan. What's his great sin? So is it easy to then categorize it as well? He has pride of life, and then we quickly take his pride and we push it underneath pride of life. I don't know about the categories as they stand. So for what it's worth, so when I read the types of sin, I have a hard time saying that it's one of these three categories. So
well,
just to make it more confusing.
No, I agree with you. I just feel like pride is such a...
That's a thing. It is a pretty big thing. But then the thing is, like, you'll get, like, other sins. Like, here's a fundamental sin. Disobedience against the Lord. Like, disobedience. Not for any sake. So, for example, Eve, when she's having the discussion with the serpent. And it does list that she does things with her eyes, her wisdom, and good for living. It does list that when she eats. But the fact is, the fundamental problem wasn't that she or she was looking at the stuff and saying, all right, here I'm going to do it. It was already that she stopped listening to the word of God. She stopped.
Right.
So much earlier, while she's having the discussion with Satan, she stopped listening. So where do we put that under? It doesn't neatly fit like that it's the lust of the eyes, or it's just that she's not listening to what God said anymore. And in fact, John then makes a real big point of that. Because you'll see Jesus speaking and telling the people the words, and people aren't listening. And there's no mention that it's about this desire or that. That's how come you'll see people who are followers, they hear his words, and they reject them. And then you have another group of people that believe him, they hear his words, and then they want to stone him.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there, it's like, what's going on? This isn't like lust of the eyes, it isn't the pride of life. It's something else that Jesus is exposing.
Yeah, well, it sounds like pride to me if it says that I'm doing it my way.
It is pride that it's doing it my way, but what type of it? That's the problem that I have with the pride of life category. Is it that you're saying, I'm doing it my way because it's my life, or is it something deeper that's saying, you know, you're above, I don't need to hear you. What's the deal there? So
I didn't mean to get you out.
Sorry. No, it's okay. It's okay. Let's jump to God's person. Let's try to do this quick because today's lesson is actually going to be a little hard. No. So God's person. This is all good stuff, though. This is all good stuff because it lets you see the text and you're asking the right questions with the text. So what does it teach us about God's person?
He's the beginning. Keep going.
The beginning, or at least at the beginning, right? Too. He's the Word.
Now we're in
John 1.
What it teaches about God now.
What
right?
It teaches about God, yes. Okay. Who He is, what He's like.
I wrote He is the beginning, but then I also wrote He, and in parentheses, Jesus was in the beginning with God.
In the beginning, and He, Jesus,
the Word. It's a thought process.
Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
He is the giver and sustainer of life.
Where did you see the Trinity? All right, so that sounds like two. What's Trinity? Yes, it did. That's why I'm pushing it. I'm pushing. Yes, so we're looking for the Holy Spirit then?
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Creator? 34 has the Holy Spirit. 33.
Thank you. Creator. Where did you see Creator?
All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made.
That's right.
God is light.
Where did you establish that one?
5.
Thank you.
God is the person He's been heard before man.
Where did you get that?
15. Then bear witness of Him and cry, saying, this is He who am I spake. He cometh after me that stood first before me, that was before me.
So what else do you get out of there?
He was before us, He stood first before us.
Well, so that's preference, but what else do you get then? Because John says he's to be preferred before... He's above me, basically, because He was, he says, before me. So He's before all people, right? Well, we have Him at the beginning, but I'm just bringing out that point there. Anything else?
I should have included in 5 that He cannot be overcome by darkness.
He's the Christ.
Dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth.
Come. You guys have good stuff here.
Right, Pastor?
Yeah. Full of grace and truth. Yeah, right?
And I don't know if the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes. Dwelt among us, became flesh.
God has a will.
Yes.
God is glorious.
No one has seen God.
No one has seen God, and what else does that say about, what else does it say then? Because that sounds like an insurmountable problem, if no one's seen God, but it says something else.
The
Son did what?
No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him?
Yes, declared Him. What else did it say there? There's a lot in that verse.
Well, that's in the bosom.
In the bosom of the Father, right?
Right.
I would think if you rested in the bosom of your father, you'd see him. You'd be the only one that would.
Yep. Now, what else did it say there? And so it said in the bosom of the Father. What else did it talk about the Son?
The only begotten Son?
Only begotten, yeah.
The Spirit remained upon him?
Spirit remained upon him, yes.
Spirit at 33.
God loves man.
Spirit descending. Remained upon him.
God gave his fullness.
God gave fullness.
God loves man.
God loves man. We're going to stop there.